and then say.
All right. So we're starting on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Go ahead, Amar Rabba. Right? That's what we're up to?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amar Rabba.
Amar Rabba.
So Shinei Kona is written and taught. In other words, it's a pasuk and a mishnah. Go ahead. So once the pasuk is Vayishlach Hashem Shir Gozal, so that's extra Shir Gozal. So what's the limud of Asher Gozal? If it's like that which you stole, then you have to return it. And if not, domim ba'alma boi l'shlumi. So it's interesting that he's learning from there shinui is kona. In other words, if I don't have to return it because it's different, so it must be that I'm kona. Right? When it says, you only have to return it if it's like you stole. If it's not like you stole, then you have to give back damim. Now, does that necessarily mean that you're kona? Not completely clear that that necessarily means you're kona. But it would imply that what? What does that imply? That what is preventing you from being kona? We could look at it this way. That what's preventing the kinyan of the gezel? The chiyuv of hashava. Well, that's a certain way to look at this.
When it's be'en?
That since it's be'en, why am I not... All he says is it removes the chiyuv of being meshiv the cheftza. Of the hashava, it removes the mit the chiyuv of veheishiv hasikdei asher gozal, which is a benefit to the gozlin too, because if it goes down in value, he can just say a reish lachol panecha. So it means say it removes the chiyuv of veheishiv hasikdei asher gozal, and it turns it now into a payment of damim. But it seems to imply that the removal of the chiyav of a heshev is part of the cause of the kinyan of the gezel. Right? In other words, how do you know you're kona? Because you don't have to return it anymore. Now, is that just coincidental, or is that the cause? The fact that I don't have to return it. In other words, is the chiyav of... it's a way to think about it. We have to be open-minded here. Is it the shinoi that's kona, like a separate rule that a shinoi is kona? Or is it once there's a shinoi, now it doesn't qualify as something that I can return? Once it doesn't qualify as something I can return, mamela, so to speak, it'll be mine. In other words, what's preventing my kinyan from being chal is the obligation to return it. Now when there's no more kiyum of returning it, so then my tfisa will be complete. We'll have to think about it. You have to see. There's a whole lot of discussion on this topic. What is the limud from... how do you know that the shino is kona because of the pasuk of Heshev Zgash or Gozal? It's not talking about kiyum. It's just saying... there's no kiyum of veheishiv as exela unless it's the same thing.
You're saying not necessarily that it's a kona.
Maybe it's not. Maybe I have to give him back the maybe he still owns those shards. Let's say I broke the kli. Maybe he still owns those pieces, but I have to add money. I have to add some money to make up the value. Who's to say I'm kona them just because I don't have to return? Just because they're not going to be a kiyum of veheishiv as exela. Right. Okay, but you could say no. Veishiv Asher Gozal means I don't have to return it at all if it's changed, and that means I can keep it. All right, go ahead. What was Rashi? Shinei Kona.
Hecha deshani lehu biyadayim shikulei the deraisa badei kona.
Right. So Rashi limits it to a shinei biyadayim, specifically a shinei biyadayim, not like tlev and asa aisle. A real change, a maisa, shinei maisa. Then I'm definitely kona. Midaraisa. Go ahead. Right, so Raj is saying the discussion of Rabbah is talking about Ashini Biyodayim. And he said, and Rabbah is saying it's Pashat the Midaraiso, Ashini Biyodayim is Kona. What's Ashini Biyodayim? Semer Vaso'o Bigodim. Not the wool itself. I don't have to return the object in its original form. I just pay money. Okay, and that I know, that Rabbah says is Pashut because of a Pasuk in the Mishnah. Alright, Rashi jumps the gun over here to the question. But Yiyush, he's Mesubik about. He thinks it's Kona, but he's not sure if it's the Raisa or the Rabban. Right, let's continue the Raya's that he has. So the Pasuk is basically Asher Gozal. And what's the Mishnah?
Tinina Hagozal Eitzin V'Asan Kalim, Semer V'Asan Begadim, V'Shayim Kishas HaGzela.
Right. So that's also his Kona, if he pays Kishas HaGzela. Go ahead.
Inami, lo he speak listeno, Hachitzavu Pater.
Yeah, or from here. What's the case over here? This is by Rashis HaGez. So you have to give the Kohen the first wool from the annual shearing. Okay. And what's the minimum shear? Five?
Five
wool. Sheep. Okay, so he says, if you have Rashis HaGez, you have the wool that you're supposed to give to the Kohen, and then what did you do? You dyed it, so then you're putter. Why are you putter? It was an obligation. It was like a moment of the shevet. It belonged to the shevet Levi, to the Kohanim. So why are you, don't you have to give it anymore? So that's a shinoi. Shinoi is kona. Let's see Rashi.
Hachitzavu putter. Rashi says the kinya b'shinoi. Afilu damim lo mishalim, ain kohen yachol lahazminu b'din yachol lomar le'acher atzmenu.
So that's interesting. So by that case, not only do you not have to give it to anyone, but you don't even have to give anyone any money. You completely putter. You don't pay at all. Normally, when you have a kinyan of shinoi, so you don't give back the cheftza, but you have to pay damim. But over here, you don't pay anything. Why? Because each Kohen can say, no Kohen can take you to Beis Din. It's an interesting thing. It's called the Mamon Shein Lo Tovin. No Kohen can schlep you into Beis Din and say, pay me the money. Because I could always say, no, I was going to give it to someone else. Avol Kodem Shetzavo. Well, Rashi says, but interestingly enough, says, but before he dyed it, any Kohen who grabbed it can keep it. Right? That's what he's saying?
Are they allowed to grab it, though, or do you have to give it? Is it my time?
Well, you're not allowed to. I mean, we have... Right. Say, that's the question, right? We generally say that that's called the Tovas Hano, right? That the owner, the Baal, has what's called Tovas Hano. You know, Tovas Hano is Tovas Hano means the discretion, means the benefit of the discretion. Let's say I'm a trustee on a fund of some sort, and charitable, foundation. So it's not my money, but I have I direct how it goes. That itself is something that itself is some kind of a benefit. It's called the Tovas Hano. So a Yisrael who has truma and mice, all these things. So it's not considered his. He has an obligation to distribute it to the Kohanim, but he has the right to choose who he wants to give it to. That's his right. That's called the Tovas Hano. So he's saying, nonetheless, Rashi's learning that even though that's his right, if a Kohen would grab it, he couldn't be mafkiyat from his hands. It'd be like our Kenas kind of a case from the other day. He'd be Zocha to it. So then why can't he say, I wanted to give it to another one? So what's the difference between before and after the dying in terms of particular Kohen's right or claim to it? Yeah. It's mammon that's considered to belong to the group. Belongs to the shevet. But you have a right to decide which one it's going to go to in that group. But it's not yours. Not yours. It's not literally a stira, right? It's not really a stira, because he's saying ahead beforehand, whoever grabs it can keep it. Because he's Kona. I mean, he is Roy for that Kenyan, and he did in fact take it, and he does in fact have it now. That's different from saying I can take you to Based and then demand that you give it to me. It's not a stira, really. Right? Could be no one has the right to demand it from him. So what about after the fact? If a Kohen would grab the money, would he be able to keep it too?
Yes.
The money of the...
What if a guy is surveying the wool, and then a Kohen grabs the money? Would he be able to keep it? But Rashi's saying that the dhamim he doesn't pay because no Kohen can drag him into Basin and say, give me that money. Because he could always say, I was going to give it to someone else. But Rashi says, but if it was before he died, anyone who grabbed it would be Zocha to it. But what about after he died? Would anybody be Zocha to the dhamim?
Is there a chiyuv dhamim after he dies?
I mean, Rashi's not clear. Is he saying there's no chiyuv dhamim because of this reason? Or is he saying there's no one who could actually, claim it against him? Or is he saying, since no one can claim it against him, there's no chiyuv dhamim? So some guys want to say like this, that really the wool belongs to the Kohanim in general. And therefore, if one Kohen would grab it, he could keep it. Is that right? He could keep it. But if the Baal dyes the wool, which is effectively stealing it from the group, you can't convert that into a chi of damim, because the reality of the chi of damim is totally on the ability of Beis Din to effectuate it. And since they can't, then there's no reality of that chov.
What do you mean, why can't they effectuate it?
Because every Kohen can come and say to Beis Din, give me the money, and they'll say, no, you don't have
to
right.
Say he right now has an outstanding debt to the institution of Kohanim to pay $10.
So let's just sharpen it up a bit, because everybody agrees. Well, let's say according to the Rush, like we were learning yesterday, if the kenas is owed but not payable, the Rush holds the guy can be tofes, right? So you can't say simply because the Beis Din can't enact it that means it doesn't exist, because like the Rush was learning, he was learning Kenas Bizman Azeh, even though based in, we have no smuchim, so we never enforce Kenas, but any individual can grab his Kenas, and based in will not force him to give it back. So they have to modify their Svara and say, it's not simply if the based in won't force force the payment that it doesn't exist, but if there's no bailim, if there's no defined bailim of the vdamim, then the chi of dam doesn't exist. But let's put it like this then. In other words, the dumim, In other words, in order to have a chi of dumim, you'd have to first have the cheftza chal in one individual's rishus.
true that before you give the reshta gaze, it's, in a sense, you could say it belongs to the Kohanim in general. But that's in terms of a chi of domim, it has to be that I was motzi it from an individual's reshus. In other words, let's take the gaze before you, the wool before you give it. So you'll say, what do we really mean that it belongs to the Kohanim? We have to clarify that idea. What does that mean? What does that really mean? It doesn't really belong to all the Kohanim. They're not going to split it up. It's not like a big shutfus in the Kohanim. Right? So what does it really mean? How does it exist? That's what I was questioning before. Is it a chi? Is it really mean I don't have a right to keep it because I have an obligation to give it to a Kohen? Or is there some reality to that, to the ownership of the Kohanim right now?
Kind of like not in your
control. You could say it's really mine, but I have no right to use it because it's kavua for a mitzvah of Nisina l'Kohanim. But then the question is, why if a Kohen grabs it, does he get to keep it?
Because it's kavua for them.
So let's have to, who said that before? Because it's, who was saying that before?
No,
that's satisfying?
Well, you wouldn't say it has a debt, would you? I mean, you wouldn't say, not in a
that's not satisfying to me. If it's really mine completely, and I have an obligation to give, so then I have the right to choose who to give it to. So just so if you come along and grab it as an individual coin, why should you get to keep it?
You don't really have the right to choose who to give it to.
I do. Well, to a coin. Okay. But I still have, it's still, no, is it really mine or not? Is it mine with a chiyuv to do something with it? If it's mine with a chiyuv to do something with it, I don't see how any strange coin can grab it and keep it.
Why?
Yeah, right.
What if it's yours to give over to a coin? It's only yours.
So when does it become the coins? When I give it to him.
So why should you?
When that thing enters the possession of a coin.
You keep defining it a little bit more.
Well, you only have it in terms of, I guess, watching it that it gets to a coin.
Oh, I'm a shepherd of it.
You can't use it.
I have to make sure it gets to a coin. And if somebody does it for me, gamzulatova.
Like you're a shomer?
I'm like a shomer. So then whose is it? No, he doesn't want to say it's a shomer.
It's like an escrow.
You're getting into like some quasi, yeah, like it's an escrow. It's like a quasi...
There you go. That was the word that was needed.
Yeah. That's just giving up.
Yeah. So quasi by us. Okay.
That's it, yeah. But you say...
Just drink.
Let's say like this. That seems like this. That there is a... When he shears the wool... Okay, so now... It becomes the mamon of the shevet. Now, what does that mean? It's the mamon of the shevet.
The mamon of the shevet, or the
everything comes down to mamon. It's the mamon. What do you mean? Well,
it's
not
theirs.
No.
Mamon just mean an object.
Mamon, I just mean the object, right? It's the they have a bailus on it. Okay.
Yeah.
But a shevet is a unit. It's a group. Yeah. All right. So Rashi's saying like this. It's almost like a Yerusha. You know what I mean? When you have a Yerusha. So who's you? Who you have 5 kids, 10 kids, 20 kids, whatever it is. The father dies. So whose does it belong to? Who does it belong to? It belongs to the Yorshim. But what belongs to who? That depends on how it's divided. So the individual tfisa of a Kohen is the conclusion of the Kinyan. So the Kinyan devolves in 2 steps. It comes down in 2 steps, right? It's kavua. It belongs to the group, to the universal. That means it can't go outside of the group. But there's no individual tfisa on anyone within the group until one person is zocha to it. So I, as the Baal, have the right to determine who will be zocheh to it. But as long as a member of the group expresses the bialess of the group, all of the zechus of the group is condensed into him now. He has the zechus of the group. Okay. But if the mammon, if the chefza is destroyed before anyone is tofes it, right? There never becomes an actualized baal to be toveya mammon. The group, like you're saying, is not a baal. In other words, the difference between one guy grabbing it when it's wool and someone coming to basten, or even grabbing it when it's dumim, is that when it's wool, so that cheftza now belongs to the collective, to the group. And when one person is tofes it, so that actualizes or manifests its destiny or its bialess to the group, now becomes actualized within a member of the group. Right? Because it's like the Rambam says, Memor Nevuchim, there's no such thing as the species, so to speak. There's no such thing. There's only individuals. Individuals are the only things that are real. We, in our minds, put together groups, and we call them a group, but the species doesn't exist as a cheftza. The individuals exist as a cheftza. They might exist because of the idea of the species, but the actual existences. So we say that the Kohanim are zocha to this mammon, but until one Kohen grabs it, there's no reality, there's no expression, there's no manifestation of that zechus. So he's zocha to it. But the point is like this, In terms of the mammonus, the only time you have a chi of mammon is when there is, in order to have the chi of mammon, it first has to be, the cheftza has to be in somebody's rishus. Then I can claim you have my mammon. But since the reish segeis works out that first the cheftza belongs to the group, like a Yerusha, and until one person is zocha to it, it's not considered in anyone's rishus at all. It's just omed in the under it's under their umbrella. It's in the rishus of the shevet. But to go from but in order to make a monetary claim, you have to be able to say it was taken out of my rishus. At the time you destroyed it, it wasn't in any individual's rishus, so it can't convert into a mominus. Yeah, I'm saying it's not really a gezel. It's not really a gezel in the same sense, because it's not really, you're not really motzi it from any one person's rishus. But it's a gezel. It doesn't say it's a gezel. It just says you're putter from the nesina, because the nesina would be the chiyuv of the nesina is to actualize in a member of the group the bialess of the group. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is once you shear this wool, it becomes mammon of the group of the Kohanim. And your mitzvah is to actualize that through an individual. Because when an individual gets the... your mitzvah is to give it, is to actualize it. It belongs to the group. But there's no such thing as the group. There's no such thing as the tfisa of a group. The tfisa of the group comes about through the tfisa of the individuals of the group.
So insofar as an individual doesn't own it, how do captains say the group owns it?
So it's like omed for them. Who wants to say omed for it? It's like a Yerusha. It's they have a zechus. The group has a zechus. What does it mean that the group has a zechus? It means that any individual within the group will be is omed for this kinyan, because the objective is that it's a kinyan, it's moment of the group, but there is no collective bialess of the group. The only bialess of the group is expressed through the bialess of the individuals.
And do any of the individuals own it?
No.
Do you own it?
Do I own it? I'm not sure what that would mean. I don't think you own it, no.
Because this is different than a regular zechus. Like a regular zechus, when you think your zechus is like it's hefker, just and then all these guys have rights to it. So can you describe how this type of zechus is different from a normal zechus?
To me, it's like a yerusha. When
but
the guy dies,
yerusha, it's hefker. Like there's no.
No, it's not hefker. It's not hefker. It's not hefker. It's not hefker. If a guy dies and he has 20 kids. Right.
Yeah.
None of the individual kids can say this particular object is mine, but it definitely belongs to the Yorshim.
Right. There's no ball behind the scene in a sense. You know what I mean?
Like, there's a mechanism. There's a mechanism of Yerusha that transfers the bailus to the group via the individuals.
Right. It transfers from who?
From the mace.
Right, but like, you know, he's not there anymore. But here,
that's why you need a mechanism.
So I'm just
right, but still here, you still have a ball.
No one owns it. No one owns it currently. Just
which one?
When the objects in Yerusha are for
the group. Bottom. It belongs to the group.
If there's no idea of the group itself owning something, if it's only expressed in individuals, and none of the individuals own it yet, how can you say the group owns it yet?
That's exactly what we're saying. It belongs to the Yorshim. But in general, not in particular. There's no particular Yoresh who can say this particular object is mine.
How can it belong to an amorphous group that?
It means that its exclusive rights of zechus are in this group. There's
really
no
violence.
One who can have a zechus. There's no one who can be kona this, other than this group.
Right, so you're not saying belongs. You're saying rights. Is there a difference there?
Well, what's ownership? Mm-hmm. What does ownership mean? It means rights. So who has the exclusive rights to this to these objects? The group. Meaning to say, in a certain sense, in the sense of exclusivity, the group is the bailus. In the sense of utility, that has to be determined among the members. In other words, full bailus means it's mine to the exclusion of others. This type of a bailus goes down in two steps. First, there's the exclusion to everyone else. And then among the group that excludes everyone else, one individual will gain the utility, all of the utility. So like the Yerusha. When the father dies, everyone is excluded from these objects but for this group of people. But that doesn't mean that the group has yet determined who has the utility of this group. Which member of the group is the one that's going to have the use? We know who's excluded. We don't yet have a particular in terms of expressing his in terms of the utility.
So the Baal here is just like the Maestro.
So the by the sheep.
Yeah,
that's the Toves Hanah. He gets to decide which of the group will express the utility.
But he doesn't own it.
No, he's like a trustee. It's like a trustee. Who, the trustee of the group, he gets to determine where the positive expressions of bailus will be found. Which member of the group? It can't go to anyone else. It's impossible. Because the bailus is exclusive. It already excludes everyone but this group. But it hasn't yet picked there hasn't yet been determined normally kinyanim don't work this way. Because normally it's going from one baal to another baal. And all steps take place simultaneously. When I sell you my car, I'm simultaneously giving you the rights and excluding others. Over here, it comes out somewhat in a two-step process. First, everyone else it's destined and limited to this particular group. Where it's expressed within this group, the utility, where the utility is expressed within the group is undetermined. That's up to the Baal. But Mamele is saying any one Kohen who grabs it will be Zocha too. But the only thing is, the only point I'm trying to make, I think I'm trying to work along your lines over here, is that the din, that the chi of mom, since the step before it's given is not an actualized kinyan, it's just in the realm of exclusion, it hasn't yet been positively actualized, that type of a bialis can't convert into dhamim. Dhamim only has to be from the rishus of an individual. The chi of dhamim comes about from depriving the rishus of an individual, not from not allowing this exclusive kinyan to take place. So the reish zageis will never convert into a chi of dhamim according to Rashi. And he's expressing that because he says no one individual can say it was my rishus that was deprived. And the chi of damim is to replace something that's lost from a particular rishus. You can't convert the cheftza into damim. So if you would look at it like saying, well, the cheftza of the wool is now exists bidamim. First the wool existed, and now first I was the guardian of the wool. Now the wool is gone, so I'm the guardian of damim. And whatever happens to the wool, whatever was supposed to happen to the wool, now should happen to the dhamim. Well, if that were the case, then I would have a chiyuv to give it out. And certainly any kohen would come to grab it, I could keep it. But he's saying, no, the chiyuv of dhamim is fundamentally different than the chiyuv of the wool itself. The chiyuv of the wool itself is because there's a reality to the bailus of the shevet. And that reality demands that it's actualized in the member of the class. Okay? But before it becomes actualized in the rishus of an individual, you can't say that there's any, if I destroy it before that actually happens, you can't say I was motzi it from the rishus of somebody. The chi of damim comes about from the nezek of being motzi mamon from someone's rishus. That's what the chi of damim comes about. The chi of damim doesn't mean that whenever I have an object that gets destroyed, it gets converted conceptually into money. Because then I can say the same thing over here. I had reish zageis. It got destroyed. Conceptually, what I had is now damim. No. The chi of damim comes from the nezek of removing mamon from someone's rishus. Not just the transformation of a cheftza into value. So in this case, while it was existing, I had an obligation to actualize it into the rishus of an individual. But if it got destroyed before that, or if I stole it before that, I'm not going to be chayav damim because you can't say I was a motzi mamon from anyone's rishus. I just prevented the chalos. I prevented the mamon from being distributed to anyone in the group. But there's no cheftza bedamim. There's only a chi of tashlumin in terms of being a mazik in someone's rishus. But you can't say I'm a mazik in any kohen's rishus, because no kohen can say it was mine.
And the group can't.
Okay, so the Yerush is more complicated. Because certainly if someone steals from the Yerusha before it's distributed, he has to pay back all the Yerusha.
Right.
It's a little more difficult. But that's a question.
Right, but like, who orchestrates that, you know what I mean?
But that's different. That's because they really all, that's a question. When the Yerushim divide up the property, how do we view it? Do we say it's like Huvra, like Brera? Like it turns out that he's getting it directly from the father? Or do we say they're all shutfim in it? And when they divide it up, it's like they're selling each other's portion. But that's different. That's because it really is a specific amount that's being tofes individuals. This is not tofes individuals at all. That's the difference between like a shutfis and this is not considered a shutfis. The shevet is not, it's not that everyone in the shevet is a shutuf in this thing. It's a different kind of an idea. It's the chiyuv, it really is all made to belong to a kohen, but it gets that way through the exclusion of others which forces a king into an individual. But it's not directly belonging to, in that state, it doesn't belong to anybody. In the sense of utility, in the sense of being in someone's reshus, being under someone's control. Even the Baal, because another Kohen can grab it.
So why would you have to turn the object if you're moving the reshus? It used to be the Maisa Geneva.
Well, because the Chefza belong, it would just be a question of who's... you mean if I steal it from someone else?
Yeah, let's say you steal a sheep, I steal it from you. Why am I tied to the original? Why is it...
Because it still is Kavua as exclusive to this group. So, it's a good question. I mean, would I have the mitzvah, is there a mitzvah of racial gaze on the Ganav?
Well... No, I'm saying other than the mitzvah rishus geis, is there a chiyuv just of returning geneva to go back, or is it just the mitzvah rishus geis?
If I steal your matnas kahuna,
yeah.
So, who would I owe the money to? Well, if I steal the matnas kahuna, I destroy it. There's no dam to pay, right?
Right. So I'm just kidding. Why is there a chiyuv of returning the object, but not dumb?
Well, we're not talking about those cases. I mean, you're asking me, what if someone stole the object?
No, I'm saying you have the object. When you have the object and you keep it for yourself, so you shoot a sheep and I keep the...
So that's a mitzvah. I have a mitzvah to actualize the bilus of the yeshiva in an individual. That's my chiyuv.
But there's no chiyuv dumb because...
Because dumb only comes about from the nezek, from a maisa nezek of geneva, which is removing from someone's rishus.
Right. Has to be nezek of someone who's subject to rishus.
So there's no nezek, because no one can say, I was the one who's harmed.
But geneva itself isn't being motzi mamon from someone's rishus?
It is.
So is this geneva or a gezeila?
No, because there's no such thing as the rishus of the shevet. In terms of the positive resting place of the chefza, it's not in a place. You know what I mean?
Right. So there's no Isser Geneva or Gezeila by doing Shinoi Kohanah here.
It wouldn't be a Geneva or Gezeila, right? You'd be Mevatel the mitzvah of Reish Legez.
Right, just Mevatel, so say.
Right.
So I can tell all the problems.
Okay.